Good to be here in the house of the Lord. It's good to be able to fellowship with other people of like faith, people who know that their sins are forgiven. And it is a joy to know that our sins are forgiven. What was that hymn that we sang, 57? Just over in the glory land. You know, that's just the other side of death. When we see Jesus, well, that's if the Lord doesn't return, we'll see death. But if he does come, we'll go to be with him in the twinkling of an eye. That's what we're going to be looking at tonight. But some things there. Did you know, just over in the glory land, we're going to share Jesus' glory. In the second verse there, there to sing God's praise and his glory shared. You know, his glory, Jesus' glory, we're going to be sharing in that. That's not only a song truth, that's the Bible truth. And that's pretty amazing. It's going to be a time of glory. We're not going to be baking in our own glory or basking, whatever they say, in our own glory, but in Christ's glory. But we're going to see him face to face. We'll see him as he is, not through a dark glass darkly or dimly, but we'll see him as he is. We're going to be looking tonight at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As I'm going through Thessalonians, this morning in Sunday school, we recapped on the first couple of chapters and went through chapter 3 and looked. They had a lot of temptations, a lot of trials, persecutions, from the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter, and now we're into the fourth chapter. And so Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, not being able to go there to be with them, which he'd like to do, but eventually he decided he's best to stay where he is and send Timothy to them to help them to grow in Christ. So his purpose for writing was, in the last verse of chapter 3, to the end, he, God, may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even the Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We go on to chapter 4 here. We could read the whole chapter first, but I think what we'll do that first. We'll read the whole chapter first, and then we'll go back and go through it. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren that which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them, or go before them, which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, I think a good place to start is let's open in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God, we need you. We need you, Lord, to open our hearts and our minds to the Word of God, that you would show us truth from your Word. Help us, Lord, to see these truths and, Lord, how precious they are. Help us to understand that, Lord, these things that Paul is talking about have the ability to comfort us and, Lord, to help us to have a right direction in our lives. Lord, I pray that you might direct our thoughts, our minds, help us to have the right goals, Lord, that we might not be seeking to make ourselves a great home here on this earth, but Lord, that we might lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust or corrupt nor thieves break through and steal. Help us, Lord, to be able to focus on things of eternity, Lord, so that this world would have no power over us. We do pray, Lord, that you would help us to think those things that are righteous and fearing you. Help us, Lord, to fear you as we ought. Because, Lord, the fear of God is what brings wisdom, and that's what will help us to put away sin out of our lives. Lord, that you would instill the true fear of God in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, help us each to realize these things that are happening in this chapter, that we might not be fearful of men, but, Lord, that our fear truly would be of you, and that we might work in our lives to please you, Lord, knowing that Christ has paid for our sin, that we would leave sin alone, and, Lord, that we would become all that you require of us, that you want of us, that we might be able to glorify your name and bring honour to you. We pray, Lord, help us, use us to glorify your name throughout our lives, wherever we go, that you would be the strength of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Paul's been there, and he's been telling them some things that they shouldn't do and some things that they should do. He's been trying to encourage them to do those things that are right, to live holy lives, to be an example for God's glory. And he's wanting them to perfect those things in their lives. He's wanting them to be able to have fruit in their lives that would stand to show other people that Christ is real and has helped them to overcome sin as well. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, this morning we spoke a little bit about sanctification given by the Spirit. And that was in 1 Peter 1, 2, which we will read again. 1 Peter 1, 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, peace be multiplied. And what Peter is saying there is we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Did you know that if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Saviour, that God, from the beginning of time, just making sure I'm not hooked up somewhere, from the beginning of time, he knew your hearts and my heart. And he knew who would trust Jesus, believe on him as Saviour. And as such, they are elect. So God elected us to do what? Because it says he's elect according to the foreknowledge of God, but it doesn't say we're elected to salvation, but we're elect. It says here, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. So God says, okay, anybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to put my Spirit within them. And that's, if you look at John chapter 3, we're talking about this morning in Sunday school, that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and Jesus told him, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So what happens is God sends His Spirit to dwell within the heart of the believer, and that is the sanctification of the Spirit. We are set apart unto God through belief in what He has done. John 3:16 says, who can tell me that? Okay, for God, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So it's believing in Him. It's believing that He paid the penalty for our sin. Okay? Our sin demands God's judgment upon our lives. That's every person in the world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin, since we've all sinned, there's wages, there's payment. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we've had, so we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. So God's elected that all who trust Jesus Christ as Savior will have the Spirit of God indwell them, and He wants every one of them, and you're not exempt if you know Christ. He wants every one of them to be obedient unto Him. Okay, so it's elect unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay, there's a big problem there, was fornication, and he's telling them, you be clean in your minds. Okay, abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Doesn't mean we should all be boat owners. Means our bodies. Our vessel is our bodies. That we should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. By the way, this word sanctification still means to set apart. But it's more, he's telling us what our part is to do. And we are to set ourselves apart unto God. We've been set apart by the Spirit of God coming to dwell within us. Now he's telling us that we ought to set ourselves apart unto his service and to obedience. Abstain from fornication. Know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Say no to sin. It says, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. There's things in our lives that we may have done before we were saved, but God doesn't give us liberty to keep going. Put it away. Stop those things and be counted for Christ. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. What is defraud? What is defraud? Does anybody know? It's like giving something to somebody, then holding back that which is due to them or that which you promised to them. Okay, so if you've got a person working for them, for you, and they've done their day's work, they need to be paid for it. It's, if you hold that back from them, that is actually defraud. Okay, so unless, of course, they've agreed to do it for nothing beforehand, but if they're expecting some money and you've allowed them to think that, then to hold that back is really, it's defrauding. Now, it's not only in money. It might be in something you've promised to do for them. But if you hold it back, that's defraud. It says don't defraud another person in any matter. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is avenger of all such. Be careful, guys, in how that you treat other people. As we have also forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. You know what it means to despise. If you're going to despise, what are you going to despise? Usually a person, isn't it? And what is it to despise them? Think of them in a manner that's lower than what they deserve. You put them down, maybe. You be careful of that. You think, oh, well, that person's not really working hard, or that person's not really pulling his weight, or not doing what he ought to do. You be careful. God has made all people different. And sometimes we might despise something just because we're not the same as that, and God's made us different. Well, be thankful for the way God made you, and be used in the way God sees fit for you. Okay? So we ought not to be despising another person because they're different than us. Be very careful. God makes everyone different. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I think they must have showed it in their character that they went out of their way to love each other. And that's a good thing. But he still encourages them to go the extra mile and to do it more and more. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business. Get on with your own lives, okay? You don't need to get into everybody else's business. To work with your own hands as we commanded you. Why do you have to work with your hands? God always tells us that it's a good thing to work with your hands. Find the thing to do with your hands and do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do it with all your might, and these type of phrases that are in the scripture. But he says, he that stole, let him steal no more, but labor with his hands the thing that is good that he might have, and that he might have in order to give to others. Okay, that's the principle that he gives. Here, he says, what's the reason? Working with your hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You don't need to steal off anybody else or get something craftily, because you're able to work with your own hands those things that are good and to have. And in this passage it doesn't say, but you can have in order to give to others. But now it's the exciting part. It's talking about Jesus Christ coming back to the clouds. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. By the way, this is also concerning those who've died. This sleep is not talking about taking a nap. This sleep is talking about death. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. By the way, it says that ye sorrow not. If it was talking about taking a nap, why would you sorry just because someone's gone to sleep? Okay, it's definitely talking about death here. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Those who have not got any hope, somebody dies from their family and they mourn over them. Oh, we're missing so-and-so so greatly. Oh, we wish they were still with us and all this sort of thing. But did you know, if you're a saved person, if you know for sure your sins are forgiven, you can know you've got a home in heaven, and if that person who died was in Christ, you know that they are going to be with the Lord as well, and you will see them someday again. So you don't need to sorrow as those that don't have that hope. That's what it's saying. So there's comfort, and you'll see in about the last verse there's comfort as well, but we'll see that in a little bit later. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's showing here that because Jesus died, not only died, but he rose again, he has power to raise us up at the last day. He has power to raise the dead to life again. He showed by his life and death and rising again that he has that power. Jesus himself said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to rise it again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Wow. So we'll catch up with those people someday in eternity. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that word means to go before, them which are asleep. So those who have died will go first. Make sense? If we're not going to go before them, we'll go after them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's interesting. In 2 Thessalonians 4:7, if we can just pop over there for a moment. No, I got that wrong, didn't I? Sorry? No, there's not. I don't know what I did there. Was that 2 Timothy? No, it's not. No, I don't know what I did there. I made a mistake. I got a double tick by it, so it was a good verse. I can't remember what it is now. Okay. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So you've got the dead people who are rising. The graves will be open, and they'll be going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. Can you imagine somebody who's going down on a youth group camp out, and they're taking the whole youth group down to, this is what we used to do as a youth group, right, Rod? And we used to take them down, and we'd end up through this bush walk at the cemetery. So, of course, it's a nighttime walk, usually. So occasionally I'd do something stupid like going and laying down on one of these graves. And then somebody would come, ah, is somebody? You know, they'd start to freak out and that sort of thing. It was good fun in the dark. I enjoyed making some people have a little bit of a hard time. You've heard some stories. But here, they were the ones to rise first. Then we. And by the way, the Lord could come today. The hour is not too late. So the Lord could come at any time. And it says here, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming to the clouds. We'll be caught up. Be better than those quadcopters, boys. I'll beat you there. Well, actually, we'll probably get there at the same time. And the quadcopters won't have a chance. They'll still be left on the ground. But we which are alive and remain, if it's in our lifetime, if the Lord comes, we may be the generation of the whole world that misses seeing death. But if it tarries a little bit, there are places in the world right throughout history where Christians have been killed for the name of Christ. And if it means that, what did we learn about this morning? We saw that when Paul was shamefully treated, he got up and kept talking. He went back into the town where he was persecuted and kept preaching. He went back to the Thessalonians and kept on preaching, even though he'd been shamefully treated. And he was encouraged to hear the faith of the Thessalonians because they were persecuted, and yet their faith didn't fail. But they kept on keeping on for the Lord because they believed God and his word. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's the one who I believe that we're going to be sold on. Our attention, all eyes, will be on Christ. He is our Savior. He is the one who defeated our biggest enemy, the devil. He has won the victory over sin, over death, over hell, over Satan. He gives us victory because he has won the victory. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Did you know this is reason to be comforted? Did you know this is reason? The Thessalonians were people who were persecuted. They were given a hard time for their faith. Paul was now showing them a reason why they could have comfort. In their tribulation, they could be joyful. Why? Because they're not focusing on the tribulation. They're not focusing on the pressures from without, but they've got a goal. They're keeping their eyes on eternity. People, if we keep our eyes on the finish line, we're much more able to run our race. If you look back at everything that goes past us, everything that might give us a bit of a scare, we're not going to be effective runners for the Lord. We need to keep the focus. Peter started to walk on water. When the Lord said, come, he said, bid me come out to you on water. And the Lord said, come. Very simple commandment. And he began to walk on water. While he had his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. When he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves, is when he began to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Know that this life, 70 years, the average days of a man, if you live 170, so be it, it is a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. It is still nothing. If you live 900 years, 969 years, like Methuselah, it's still a drop in the ocean compared to eternity. This life has nothing to offer for eternity. You could gain the whole world. And what does the Bible say about gaining the whole world? If you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it's nothing, is it? I forget the verse. How's that go? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I hope everyone here has trusted the Lord Jesus' payment on your behalf. He died to take men's sin away. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. Can we flip over to 1 Corinthians 15, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's not the one I was after. Where is it? Okay, sorry, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, talking about death again, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quick it is. See how fast you can twinkle your eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, Do you know you're going to be changed? I've got a pretty bad backache. And I suppose there's others here with the same. You get backaches and trauma and so on. You get cancer. You get all sorts of sicknesses. Is there anybody here never been sick? Who likes being sick? Funny, I don't see any hands. This body is fraught with problems, with aches, with pains, with temptations, with trials, with pressures from without and from within. Yet what does it say here? We shall be changed. It says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. That's the dead, the ones who've been buried, who we've actually helped bury or watched being buried. Their casket gets lowered down into the ground. Their bodies would decay. Doesn't take too long. You remember Lazarus? He was in the grave for 4 days. Jesus said, roll the stone away. What was the comment? But Lord, by now he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days already. It's only 4 days. Who's driven past the kangaroo that's been hit on the side of the road? The window's got to go up pretty quick, because it pongs so bad. Your body decays, but we shall be changed. In other words, your pains, your suffering, your sorrows will be no longer. Wow, having a body with no pain? Wow! Or those who are like Heather's dad, is getting around shuffling his feet very much and doesn't feel like getting out and walking because he's got sick in his old age and that slowed him down big time. Now, in our old age, don't think that God's finished with you. He's still got a work for you to do. Till the day we die or the day that Christ comes, whichever may come first. If we can't do anything else, we can still pray. And that's a very important work. A very important work. How much do we pray for each other? How much do we pray for those that we're going to come in contact with, or those who somebody from our church will come in contact with? We pray for others that they might be able to boldly proclaim the Word of God. We've always got room to do more of that. But here, this corruptible must put on incorruption, won't break down anymore. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Victory? Victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. For those who've died and those who won't die, death is swallowed up. It'll mean nothing. That's why you have no need to sorrow as those that don't have any hope. Death is swallowed up in victory. Don't be fearful of death. Fear is a snare. The fear of man is a snare. The fear itself is a snare. Have your eyes on the Lord. Then whatever comes, you can go through it. You know, there's those who've been burnt at the stake for their faith in Christ, crying out to God to open the eyes of those who are burning them at the stake. Some would sing to their death, sing praises to our Lord. Death is swallowed up in victory. Sure, they were still in the flesh and they'd feel the pain, but they know that is temporal, but the hereafter is forever. And you can't take that away from a Christian. Praise God, He has given us victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Therefore is there, so that we can look, and because of these things, because we've got the victory, because death has no hold over us. He says, Therefore, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We can work for the Lord knowing that whatever happens to us, we need not fear, because we do it as unto the Lord, not unto men. We don't fear man and what man can do unto us. We fear God so that he might direct our lives, knowing that if we are living for him, there are rewards that can be laid up in heaven as well. Okay? So Christ is coming. But there's three groups I see. There's those who've died. There's four groups I see. Those who've died are split into two. There's those who are in Christ and those who are out of Christ. The ones who have not trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior will spend eternity in hellfire. The ones who have not trusted the Lord Jesus and who are alive still have hope. As I said this morning, I still pray for Elon Musk, for Prince Charles, for what's his name? Bill Gates. I pray for these guys because while there is life, there is hope. And we have a merciful God. There was a city called Nineveh, and they were a wicked city, and they had their backs on God, and they did not like Israel. They were dire strait enemies, and Jonah from Israel was sent there to preach unto them. And Jonah ran the opposite way because he thought, no, I know that God is merciful, and I know they're wicked, and I know they're our enemies, and I don't want them to be saved from the damnation, the judgment that God is going to give them. So he ran the other way. But then through a series of circumstances, being swallowed by the great fish, being spat out on dry land, 3 days after, he was told to get up and go to preach to the Ninevites again. This time he didn't fail God. He did what he was told, but still with a poochy lip. He still didn't want to. And he sat there up on the hill and watched Nineveh turn from their sins, repent in sackcloth and ashes, and God saved that city. So if God can save the city of Nineveh, he can save Bill Gates if Bill Gates would humble himself and repent of his sin. The same as you and me. God is able. Don't stop praying for these people as well, because God is merciful. He's been merciful to you, or have you forgotten that? None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. So Jesus is coming again, knowing that your sins are forgiven in Christ, knowing that we have a Savior who's going to come to the clouds for us. Have your eyes on the finish line. Have your eyes on the goal and keep on going and serve our Savior with all your heart. The more you love him, the less problem you'll have with sin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have defeated the greatest of foes. Lord, you've given us victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, you've given us life more abundant, here and for eternity. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Help us to draw closer and closer to you. Help us to love you more. And Lord, use us, we pray, for your glory, that others might come to know our Savior. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.